Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artist First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard, and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning in to Unique, Life Starring You. This show airs every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For more information about this show and to listen to past shows for free, please visit artistfirst.com/unique.htm, and that's Y-O-U-Nique. And don't forget to follow Artist First on Twitter. You can find us under the Twitter handle @artist_first. And now here's your host of Unique, Susan Stackpole.
Thanks so much, Corey, and thank you, listeners, for joining us here on Unique, Y-O-Unique, Live Starring You. And we are what we are because of you, so thank you so much for being here with us. For those of you who have joined us before and those of you who might be new, we're glad to have you here. And we have a little project here at Unique that we call Pray It Forward. And basically what it is there's a lot of disconcerting things in the media and on the news, and scientific studies show actually putting love and positive energy towards those things can actually shift the energy. So we ask that when you see those things, rather than getting stressed out, just put a little love in the world, and we do believe it makes a difference, and we thank you in advance for that. We have a special treat tonight that for me especially makes my heart very happy. We have an amazing, she's an actress, vocalist, a professor, all sorts of things. I'm going to share a little bit with you about her and then welcome her on the show, Susan Egan. And Susan has traversed all four corners of the entertainment industry, making powerful impressions in theater, film, television, and music. She's headlined on Broadway in Thoroughly Modern Millie, won critical acclaim as Broadway's longest-running Sally Bowles in Cabaret, starred in Triumph of Love and State Fair, and received Tony and Drama Desk nominations for Best Actress as the original Belle in Disney's Beauty and the Beast. She's been seen on film in 13 Going on 30, Gotta Kick It Up, countless independent films, and she voiced the animated characters of Meg in Hercules and Lynn in the Academy Award-winning Spirited Away, among others. She spent two seasons on WB's Nikki and guest starred on House, Numbers, NYPD Blue, Arliss, Drew Carey, Party of Five, Great Performances, and more. She sings with symphonies worldwide and has over 40 recording credits, including five solo CDs, and was named Best Vocalist of the Year by TalkingBroadway.com. Her newest CD, The Secret of Happiness, is definitely a must-have for your CD collection. That's her newest book. We're going to be talking a little bit more about it this evening. Please join me in welcoming the lovely and talented Susan Egan. Welcome to the program, Susan.
Thank you, Susan. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, you just are such a glorious ray of light in the world, and you just bring so much, both personally and professionally, and so it just is a joy and just an honor to share that with our listening audience, and especially the new CD, which is just spectacular. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you so much. It means a lot that you think so. Thanks.
Well, Susan, let's share a little bit with our listening audience that some people may not be familiar with you maybe as I am. Just share a little bit with us. Have you always had the performing bug? Is that something that sort of growing up you just knew that you were going to be in entertainment?
You know what? No. I was so shy. I couldn't pick up a phone to order a pizza. And yet I did always have these dreams, like if I went to the ballet with my mom or I went to see a play, I always kept thinking like, oh, they're going to need somebody at the last minute. They're going to find me in the lobby and they're going to take me backstage and I'm going to be in the play, as if that's how easy it is, as if I wouldn't need a rehearsal or two. I was so young and naive. But so there must have been the bug in there somewhere. And I do think it's because my parents were theater goers. I was really lucky to see, you know, community theater, just small shows here and there, the local ballet where I grew up. And you know, so when I sort of became this artsy kind of girl, my parents were pretty supportive of it. They, however, thought it was only a hobby and were semi-horrified when I announced that I was going to actually pursue this. But I was very lucky and started making a living fairly quickly, and I think they calmed down and learned to just enjoy it and not be too nervous for me. But no, I'm not from a performing family by any means. I think it was a shock to my entire family, my mother in particular, who is tone deaf, that I became a singer. So
wow.
There you go.
Susan, what advice would you give to people? Because I know there's so many people, reluctant sometimes to pursue a career in the performing arts or entertainment because there is this belief across the board that, it's so risky and you won't be successful and that sort of thing. What advice would you offer up, especially if they don't necessarily particularly have the support at home that you were blessed to have? What advice would you give them?
You know, it's a great question. And in education, I often answer this question of parents about their kids. Should I be encouraging them? Should they go to school for this? What should they do? Should they have a backup major? Should they even pursue this? It's so risky. Well, in this day and age, in this jobs market, I actually don't think it is risky. My brother has 4 degrees and has spent more time unemployed than I have. Even though he's brilliant and did everything the way you were supposed to do it. You know, gone are the days where you work for a company for 40 years and you receive a wristwatch upon retirement. The market fluxes so much. And because of technology, because of the internet, because there are a bajillion television stations now, because of podcasts and regular radio and satellite radio, there is more entertainment out there than ever before, and while not everything is going to be, an Angelina Jolie salary, you can make a really good living, just as good a living doing the arts as you can, being a graphic designer or a manager in a company. I really believe that if you love it, do what you love. I know a lot of people who are working for money and not doing what they love, and I believe that they could make a living doing what they love. That said, not everybody's going to be a performer. Not everyone's going to get a lead in a Broadway show. But if you pursue what you love, you may find jobs in areas you didn't even think of. Maybe you're not going to be the Broadway star, but you might be the best casting director Broadway has ever seen. You might love producing. You might love designing makeup. You might love in marketing, you may love graphic design of the posters. There are so many elements to creating art, whether it's a Broadway show or a CD or a television show. And you may get to be surrounded in art and have that steady job that, has the retirement package. So I just think it is a little bit old school to be thinking that pursuing the arts is risky. I think there are more jobs in the arts now than ever before, and they are no more risky than anything else these days, unfortunately.
But I think that that's such a profound statement, and I think that that's why so much is in transition, because people are being, and we'll talk a little bit more about that and how it connects to your CD, about this this lifestyle of, and it's not just a concept, of being authentic, of being who you really are, really being present in your life. And I think that that's so much of what's coming up and why there's so much transition is that, jobs that people have hated, lives that they've hated living are sort of falling away, and it's making room for something new and that sort of thing. So I think that that's a really excellent point, and I appreciate you sharing that so much with us. Thank you.
Thanks.
Susan, we're going to talk a little bit about your CD in just a second. For anyone who's just joining us, we're here with Susan Egan. Please visit her website at susanegan.net, and that's SusanEgan.net. Susan, one of the new projects that you have, and we'd love to have you talk a little bit about it, is the Glamour and Goop blog that you and Georgia write, which is incredibly well-written and wonderfully insightful. It's like every blog, I'm like, wow, that's, oh my goodness, like it makes me look at life differently. So I'd love to share with our listening audience how that came about and why that's significant for you.
Oh, it is significant for me. Glamour and Goop came out of an experience that Georgia Stitt is a very well-known composer, New York composer, who lives in Los Angeles like I do now. And she and I had babies around the same time. And, you know, so we're balancing our creative lives with motherhood and trying to do it all like every mom out there. And about a year and a half ago, we were on a Disney cruise ship. I had taken Georgia with me. She was my musical director for a concert that I was doing. And both our husbands were overseas, coincidentally, on different jobs, but they didn't come with us. And so we thought, well, that's okay. We'll just bring the girls. She had a 4-year-old and a 6-month-old. I had a 3-year-old and a 6-month-old. And we just thought, that's okay. It's a Disney cruise ship. We'll just take the girls with us, and it'll be great. And we were walking through the airport, and we've both got 2 babies and Bjorns, and we've got little girls on our hands, and then we've got, like, little rolly carts with us. And more than one, I would say more than 5 people looked at us and said, wow, you're brave, or, ooh, good luck there. Or, you know, and we just looked at each other like, what are they talking about? Well, we had a great time, but it was hard in the sense that, for example, on our show night, we had to be at the Walt Disney Theater to perform for 2,000 people at 6:30. And it is now 5:59, and we have 4 girls under the age of 5 in a bathtub who are splashing us, and we are trying to do our hair and makeup and put on gowns and bathe 4 children and get them out of the bath and fed and in their pajamas for a babysitter so that we could go to a show. And we're kneeling in pools of water, and Georgia just turns, amid the chaos, she turns to me and she's like, so how's it feel to be a big Broadway star? And I just started laughing because we could not have been farther from being a big Broadway star. But you know what? This is what being a big Broadway star is. It's not what you think it is. It's real life. And within, you know, 31 minutes, we were on a stage doing our opening number and looking at each other like, how did we even get here? What is going on? And we just started laughing because it's glamour and goop. And every mom's life is glamour and goop. You know, we were all somebody before we had children, not that our children care, but we were people, 3-dimensional people, multifaceted, in fact. And here we are reduced to, you know, poopy diapers and goo goo gaga conversations. And, and you know, and George and I just think, you know, it's a little bit exaggerated in our worlds because our careers are perceived as so glamorous, but of course they're not. And I think the point of the site, of the blog, is that the glamour might be me performing with Matt Morrison, which happens, and, you know, and changing a poopy diaper as the goop. Or the glamour might be coming home and getting a huge hug from my darling daughters. And the goop might be not getting the job or getting a really bad review or, you know, canceling a concert because we didn't sell any tickets. You never know where the glamour and the goop is going to come, but we all have it. And we decided to start writing about it because George and I had done this concert for the 200 most powerful mom bloggers in the universe. It was a big Disney event in Orlando last March, and these moms not only connected to the material that we were singing, much of which is now on our 2 albums, but you know, but they related to the stories that we were telling as well and the glamour and goop of it. And they are all bloggers and have their own points of view and insights. And it really showed us, they encouraged us to start this blog because they said, no, your point of view is completely unique because of what you guys do. And it would be fun to get the insight of that. But of course, you know, the themes are universal as well. So that was the idea of it. But it has been an interesting ride because we're not writing about what we thought we would write about. I mean, certainly there is the glamour and the goop. But different things inspire me to write. So, I mean, I took a trip to South Africa, and that was life-changing. And, you know, or watching my niece at an ice skating practice and just watching her have a slow meltdown. You know, she's 13, and she's on the cusp of being truly amazing, and she's at that plateau. And I just, oh, gosh, we've all been there. And I'm just watching her silently implode, and I'm wanting to fix it and reach out, and I just know I can't because this is her process. Today is a day that she'll think back on, and it will change who she is, and it'll inform how she works through moments like this in her life, and those end up being the things that I write about. And in fact, I think George and I have talked about maybe we need a side column that's a little bit lighter because we tend to get really deep and heavy not in any dark way, but just, you know, I mean, I think we both write from the heart, and those are the things that are striking us to write about.
It's but so beautiful.
I think
though.
We're going to add a little sidebar, which is just like, you know, backstage tips on, you know, if you want to start piano lessons for your daughter, what should you look for in a piano teacher? Like things that, as moms, we do have a particular insight to because of what we do, and it's just fun little facts to just kind of round out the blog a little bit. But we've both really loved writing it, and if you go to glamourandgoop.com, you'll notice that neither of us have written because we're both releasing CDs this week, and we've just been in the studio finishing them and doing so much. But we will get back to writing for sure right after Thanksgiving.
Well, and for people just visiting the site for the first time, there's so many great blogs on there already. And so one of the things that you said, and it's a great sort of segue into talking a little bit more about the CD, is that in writing about the experience with watching your niece and sort of that wanting to step in and not being able to and you know, understanding that this is sort of a life-changing moment for her of you know, figuring out how to navigate the world and understand herself and rise to the occasion and that sort of thing. One of the things that you said is growth is not linear. It ebbs and flows, plateaus the worst moments. It is painful. And and it sort of reminds me a little bit, the first track on the CD, the Me of the Moment, we're going to play a little bit of that, is this idea of knowing yourself. And just to share a little bit with you and our listening audience, I found that particularly moving because at a time where so many people are in transition, I think there are so many people sort of beating themselves up going, oh, I wish I would have made a different choice, or I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't know what choice to make. And this song is just so beautiful in expressing this idea of, you know, allow yourself to just be where you are and you know, sort of celebrate the lessons that you have learned and the opportunity to grow. Tell us a little bit about how that song came about, Susan, and why it's significant to you, why it was something definitely included on this album.
I took part in the writing of it. It's written, the music and lyrics are written by Georgia Stitt, but I wanted a new opening number to my concert, and Georgia said that she would write it, and she asked me what I wanted it to be about. And one night at 3 a.m, I just sent her a diatribe about what I wanted it to be about and how I thought once upon a time that in our lives you moved from role to role, much in the same way that an actress does. I played Belle, and I played Meg, and I played, you know, all these different roles. But how that is not life at all. We don't move from role to role. We just keep adding roles to our plate. So I was a daughter and a sister and a student and then a girlfriend and then a college student and then a young professional and then, you know, a starving artist and then a girlfriend again and then and then a fiance and then a mom. And I'm still all those things. I'm still a sister. I'm still a daughter. I'm still a student. I'm still a professor. I'm all those things. And so grab me at any particular time of day and I'll be a different part of myself. It's who I am in the moment. But really what it embraces is life is unexpected. You know, you think it's all going to come in this red box, and thank goodness I opened the blue box because all my dreams were in a blue box and I just never knew it. And I'm hoping that people aren't ignoring what's right in front of them if for some reason it's not in the package they're expecting. But life is unexpected, and we do make mistakes, and we do make weird choices, and we do hang out with the wrong people. But all of it has led to where we are, and so there's a purpose to it. And if you don't like a choice that you've made, make a new choice next. You know, life is not this set path. You know, if you miss your freeway exit, you don't just stop and make a U-turn on the freeway. You just have to get off at the next exit and somehow find yourself a way back on your path to where you're going. And it's an unexpected path that you've just taken, but you may learn something from it, and you may meet somebody there that you were supposed to know. And so it's really just about process. And so much of our happiness and our lives depend on how we choose to see it, not necessarily what is actually happening.
Oh, beautifully said. Very wise. Isn't that so true? It's not about what happens. It's the choices that we make about how we process it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's never too late to change something, you know?
And that's an excellent point, Susan, because I think a lot of people go, oh, but, you know, it's like now I'm already down this path. They think of themselves as too far down the path. And so I think that that's a really important point that you're emphasizing.
Right, and if you think about it geometrically, I'm a math girl. If you think about it with angles, you know, you might be on this path and you really only need to change your trajectory just a tiny bit. But if you take those two lines and you take them a year down the path, look how far apart they are. So you don't have to make big, huge changes. Little small changes have profound changes in your life a year down the line. That's my Nina saying good night. Night, night, Nina. So I think sometimes people feel overwhelmed that they have to change everything, and you really don't. You can change something small, and it will have a huge impact.
Beautifully said, beautifully said. For anyone just joining us, we're here with Susan Egan. Please visit SusanEgan.net, and we're going to listen to me in a moment, and we'll be back in just a few seconds.
A surge of excitement. I feel my heart start to swell. I want to say something different. I've got a new story to tell. This place may seem unfamiliar. I might feel strange in my skin. But I am writing a chapter, and this is how chapters begin. I never expected the journey I've taken. I thought that by this point my path would be clear. Yet every decision reversed my direction. I've made lots of choices. They all led. Just get distracted. You let your dreams go astray.
And now back to Unique with your host, Susan Stackpole.
Thanks so much, Corey. And thank you, listeners, for joining us here on Unique, YOU Unique, Life Starring You. We are here with the delightful and fun and talented Susan Egan. Thank you for being here with us, Susan.
Thank you for having me.
We're here talking about Susan's new CD, The Secret of Happiness, which I just cannot overemphasize enough that it is a must-have for your CD collection, and it's the perfect gift. So definitely, and you can get it everywhere, right? Susan, you can get it on the website.
Yeah, the easiest place is Amazon, iTunes. You can go to lmlmusic.com and search for Secret of Happiness. And if you buy it there, I can give you 20% off if you input the code MOMBLOG, MOMBLOG.
Okay. Let's see. LML Music, right?
That's right. LMLmusic.com.
And then the code MOMBLOG. Great. That's excellent. Thank you so much for that. What a treat for our listeners. It's so nice to see. Thank you, Susan.
Great.
Susan, one of the themes that is sort of very evident on the CD is this idea of motherhood. And one of the things that I love is that you're so sort of honest and straightforward about it. I think that's one of the things that makes the Glamour and Goop blog resonate so much is that, you know, you're not putting on any sort of airs, just going, well, yes, you know, I'm a Disney princess, and that's the life that I live. You know, you're sort of very real about the whole thing. And one of the songs on there has a very sort of comedic spin on motherhood. And would love to have you share a little bit about how that song came to you and what it means to you.
Which one? Is it Mom Sense or Nina Doesn't
yes,
Care?
Yes, no, Mom Sense. We're going to talk about Nina Doesn't Care in just a little bit.
Sure, no problem.
Mom Sense, because it's got such a funny sort of,
It's such a great song. It was written by Anita Renfro, the comic, and the music is the William Tell Overture. So it's that, you know, dun 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 dun, you know, the Lone Ranger music, and by Rossini. So it's a classical piece. And Anita Renfro wrote the lyrics, and it's everything a mother says in a 24-hour period, from get up out of bed to good night, I love you, and go to sleep now. And I first heard it because it became an internet phenomenon. It went viral about, I guess my Nina was 6 months old, so this is 4 years ago now. And my best friend Karen sent me the link, and she just said, Susan, you have to learn this song. And there was no lyric online yet. There was no music to it. There's no nothing. I sat there and I transcribed it, which took several hours. And then, you know, I was sleep deprived and nursing my first child and had that mommy brain going, but I knew I had to learn this song, and I literally just spent hours on a treadmill, as a matter of fact, going, get up now, get up now, get up out of bed, wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head, to get my mouth around it, and then, of course, it's triple that time when you finally do it. And I just learned it until I, you know, finally had it down, and it was just repetitive over and over and over, and it took about 2 months before I had the guts to perform it. And I didn't really know what kind of reaction it was going to get. I placed it in the middle of a show once, and it was such a mistake because nothing can follow it. So it's now the encore song for me, or it's a final song for me, and then I'll do something soft and sweet as an encore these days. But Mom Sense started it all. So Mom Sense was the inspiration, because there are no mom songs out there, Susan. You would be amazed. Do you know, I looked in the Broadway world for a mom song, and like, can you even think of a Broadway mother? There's Mama Rose, but she's hideous. And, you know, there's Miss Hannigan, and she's awful. There are no mothers on Broadway. I mean, truly none. So I thought, okay, I'll go to the Disney world. That's where I work too. And, you know, of course, starting with Bambi. Bambi's mom is dead. Jasmine's mom is dead. Belle's mom is dead. You know, Ariel's mom is dead. And then they make the prequel to show you how they kill her. And, you know, and so there are no moms in Disney either. So I was so grateful to find this song. And what I love most about doing it live, and I've done it with piano and I've done it with 85-piece orchestras, and it's always the same, is that I just look in the audience for the moms, and I just watch them elbow their kids in the ribs during the song. This is exactly, and the teenagers are usually sitting there deadpan, straight face, like not enjoying it, annoyed by everything, as teenagers are, and the mothers are cracking up because it is just true. Anita Renfro, God bless you. This is the greatest song ever. I wish I wrote it.
Oh, my goodness. Well, for those of you just joining us, we're here with Susan Egan. Visit her website at susanegan.net, and you're in for a special treat. We're going to play you a little clip of Mom Sense from her new CD, The Secret of Happiness.
Get up now, get up now, get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Hear, close your shoes, hear the words I said. Get up now, get up and make your bed. Are you hot, are you cold, are you wearing that? Wear your books and your lunch and your homework at. Grab your coat and your scarf and your gloves and hat. Don't forget, you gotta feed the cat. Eat your breakfast, the experts tell us it's the most important meal of all. Take your vitamins so you will grow up one day to be big and tall. Don't forget, the orthodontist will be seeing you at 3 today. Don't forget, your piano lesson is this afternoon, so you must play. Don't shovel, chew slowly, but hurry, the bus is here, be careful. Come back here. Did you wash behind your ear? Play outside, don't play roughly. You just play fair. Be polite, make a friend. Don't forget to share. Work it out, wait your turn. Never take a dare. Get along, don't make me come down there. Clean your room, fold your clothes, put your stuff away. Make your bed, do it now. We don't have all day. Were you born in a barn? Would you like some hay? Do you even hear a word I say? Answer the phone, get off the phone. Don't sit so close. Turn it down. No texting at the table. No more computer time tonight. Your iPod's my iPod. If you don't listen up, where are you going and with whom and what time do you think you're coming home? Say thank you, please, excuse me. Makes you welcome everywhere you roam. You'll appreciate my wisdom someday when you're older and you're grown. Can't wait for you to have a couple little brats. I mean children of your own. You'll thank me for the counsel I give you so willingly. But right now...
And now back to Unique with your host, Susan Stackpole.
Thank you so much, listeners, for joining us here on YO Unique Life Starring You, where we are here with the fabulous Susan Egan. You're just listening to Mom Sense off of her new CD, The Secret of Happiness, which is a must-have for your CD collection. Cannot emphasize that enough, a must-have. Thank you so much, Susan, for being here with us.
Thank you for having me. This is such a fun show to do.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you just are an absolute delight. One thing to commend you on Mom Sense, not only did you manage to get all the lyrics, but you're so wonderfully expressive throughout the song, which I don't know if people really realize that in music in general, but that definitely is a skill that you sort of craft to be able to express those emotions through your voice, and then to do it at the speed in which you did, I just commend you for that, because what an ambitious undertaking.
You are so funny. Thank you. You know, that's funny. It's a funny comment, because I think most of that came from doing so many voiceovers. You know, animation voiceovers, when you don't have your face, you don't have your body, you don't have your gestures to express anything. And so I think my voice definitely became more expressive from doing all those Disney movies.
Well, it definitely shows, because it just sort of, you know, all the, and I think that makes the song even more comical and powerful, why the mothers and probably dads too just sort of resonate with that, because you've got so much emotion in there. So just congratulations on the job well done. What a spectacular piece.
Again, I have to give kudos to Anita Renfro, the stand-up comic who wrote it. She's brilliant.
Yay! Susan, one of the things that strikes me, I guess, about you throughout your career is just sort of making brave choices, whether it be songs that you've chosen to include on your CD or sort of sharing who you really are versus, you know, some people may have a certain impression of like, oh, you've done Disney and that sort of thing, and just having the courage to be who you really are. And especially with the CD, it shares so many different ideas and insights and that sort of thing. And one that I would imagine really resonates with a lot of people, which was sort of a really brave thing for you to put on the CD, was Nina Doesn't Care. And it's the song about, you know, basically that, you know, here you are, you have all these wonderful accolades and, you know, all these, you know, great things in your professional life. And then you sort of, you know, your daughter is just kind of like, yeah, okay, whatever, Mom.
I wish she were even that nice about it. She reminds me on a daily basis, Mom, I just want you to know that Ariel is still my favorite princess. And then it goes Pocahontas and Rapunzel and Tiana. These are the orders. Belle is not even on the list, like not even close to being on a list either.
Wow.
It's hilarious to me. But I wouldn't trade it for the world. You know, it's funny that you think it's brave. For me, I don't know how to be any other way. I don't have the energy to maintain a facade. So I think it's really just out of laziness, Susan, that I'm just truly myself. And I sort of learned a long time ago that, you know, people are going to have their own opinion about you regardless. There's always going to be that percentage that is going to, I don't know, have an opinion based on no facts whatsoever. And you can't control that percentage, so okay, that would be wasted energy. And then there's always going to be half the people who love you and half the people who don't love what you're doing. And so I've always just sort of thought, well, I might as well put myself in the 50% that likes what I'm doing. So I do tend to do music that speaks to me, and because I don't think I would be very good performing music that doesn't. I'm not that good of an actress. So, yes, so I really wanted to start writing. It's been years that I've been wanting to start writing, and now that I'm not performing quite as much, and when I stopped Broadway to have babies, and all of that. I knew that writing was going to be sort of the next step, which Glamour and Goop is for me. It's getting me just in the practice of writing. But even writing lyrics, which I co-wrote the lyrics to Nina Doesn't Care. The story of it came out of, I was auditioning for a big, huge TV sitcom as the mom. And the auditions were going really, really well. And I was at the, long story short, I was at the final callback, which is in front of the network and the studio executives. It's like 30 people in a room. They never laugh. and it's like the 40th time you've done this scene. And you're going to do the scene in front of them. And the way it works in television is you actually sign your contract before you have the job. So the final two or three actresses reading for the role have all negotiated how much they'll make each episode, and they've signed a five-year contract outside in the waiting room. And then you walk in the room and you audition. And wow. I've done this a million times. It's called testing for a pilot. So anyway, I just thought, oh, finally, this is the one. Like, everything aligned with it. It just made sense for me to be in this role for so many reasons. And I just thought, finally, this is it. Not in a cocky way, but in a, oh, this must be the job I was waiting for. And I go in for that audition, and I go in the room, and it just falls flat. Like, it's just not funny. It's not good. It's stale. I've done it too many times. It's just, it's, I just didn't get it. Like, and I knew the second the scene was over, it just wasn't it. And I walked out of the room, and I thought, ugh. And I got a text from my husband, and he's like, so how did it go? He knew I really wanted this job as the mom in the sitcom. How did it go? And I just texted back saying, I didn't get it. I just know I didn't get it. And he texted back, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm packing up my bag, and I'm getting ready to go. And another text comes in, and it's from him. And he says, but don't worry about it. You still get to be Nina's mom. And I just thought, oh, my gosh, I so married the right guy. And then I thought, and he's right. Like, I still get to go home and be Nina's mom. And Nina has no idea what I've just been through today. She doesn't know that something almost was and didn't and wasn't. I'm, you know, my hopes are dashed and all of this. You know, she's going to want her grilled cheese sandwich, and she's going to want a hug. And I can just kick back and be Nina's mom today. And what an honor, and how lucky am I. And that's where the song came out of. And I went to my friend Brian Hayner, who I think is a phenomenal talent, and I said, I want to write this song with you. And I explained to him, the joke of the song is that Nina doesn't care that I was Belle, of course, at all. And I mean at all. she just really doesn't care. It doesn't faze her. It's not that she doesn't understand it. She understands full well. It's just she doesn't care. And she doesn't care that I got great reviews. She doesn't care that I got a Tony nomination. She doesn't care about any of this. But the turn of the song is she doesn't care that I didn't win the Tony. She doesn't care that I didn't get a job. She doesn't care if I get a bad review. And thank God that Nina doesn't care. And, you know, that's what saves me on a daily basis. And I just think Brian hit it out of the park. He wrote the song. He based the melody as an homage to Beauty and the Beast. Tale as old as time, Nina doesn't care. And so it's got the whole Belle element to it. And people ask, you know, particularly when I'm doing interviews with Disney kind of publications, they say, well, you know, how would you classify this? How does this relate to your Disney world? I'm like, well, these are the songs that Belle would sing at 42. And it's Nina Doesn't Care is one of them. Belle would sing this now. Belle is now 42, and she's had some kids. And, you know, and it's the day-to-day life. But there's still magic in it. It's just not what you'd expect it to have been. And that's this song. And Brian wrote it. And when he sent it back, I made some tweaks in the lyrics. But, you know, the idea was mine, but the song is his for sure. And the collaboration is ours. And I love it. I love it. And it's so specific to me that nobody else will really ever sing it, which is kind of a bummer when you write a song, you want other people to sing it. But what I love about it is that despite how specific it is to me in my life, every mom seems to relate to it, and dads too, because we were all somebody before we had our kids. We all had achievements that our kids don't care about.
Right.
And we also all have really bad days at work and come home to the kids and still get a hug, and we still get to be their hero on the parental level. And, you know, I laugh because my, you know, famous actor friends love the song because they're like, that's exactly what it's like. And, you know, my school teacher friend moms, you know, say, that's exactly what it's like. You know, my daughter doesn't think that I can teach second grade. She just doesn't know that I taught second grade for 10 years before she was born. Like, see? See?
Kid.
Oh, my goodness. And I think, too, Susan, it flows so well into the umbrella of this idea of the secret of happiness, is sort of bringing it back to, you know, what it's really all about, that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, what's the most important thing? And so I love that. We're going to listen to a little bit of the song now. Nina Doesn't Care off Susan's brilliant CD, The Secret of Happiness. Please visit Susan's website at www.susanegan, and that's susanegan.net. We'll be back in just a moment.
I've been up since 4 a.m. 'cause she had a runny nose. Changed her diapers twice. Washed her dirty clothes. She threw down her sippy cup and then smeared me with some jam. I looked at her and said, don't you know who I am? Nina doesn't care if I was once a star. She just pulls my hair as I strap her in the car. She's never seen me soar, charming with a song. Once an ingenue, to her I'm only mom. When I'm on stage, it's like I walk on air. Nina doesn't care. The Times said I was stunning. I got 4 stars from the Post. Nina only giggles, whacks me with her toast. As she puts me through the paces, I try not to yell, but it's hard when she prefers the mermaid over.
Welcome back to the program with your host, Susan Stackpole.
Thank you so much, listeners, for being here with us on Unique, Y-O-Unique, Life Starring You. The beautiful song you just heard, Nina Doesn't Care, is off Susan Egan's new CD, The Secret of Happiness, which I urge you to just do anything you can to get your hands on. It's a beautiful CD, and we're just honored to have her here with us this evening. Thank you for being here, Susan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are just such a gem, and I just... it's just such a gorgeous CD, and you're just such a, I love that you're just such a beautiful person, and just you have this curiosity for life and enthusiasm and just this, you know, sort of desire to sort of say, okay, what's it all about and what can I learn here? And the fact that you share that, you know, through your blog and through your music and that sort of thing, it's just the CD in and of itself is just so uplifting and inspiring. And one of the things that sort of struck me with the title track, The Secret of Happiness, and some of the things that you share in there, was this idea of, you know, sometimes they say that, you know, this idea of money doesn't buy happiness. And you know, with everything that's going on in the world today, it's like so much of what people feel secure about, or their identity, whether it be their job or relationships or, you know, finances or real estate or whatever. It's like all those old things are sort of shifting and falling away and new things are coming up. And there's a lot of people that just really are going, oh, my gosh, what's happening in my life and that sort of thing. And what I love is that this whole CD kind of brings it back to, you know, what's the most important thing? And we're still here and we're still breathing and we still have so much for which to be grateful. And so I'd love to have you share with us a little bit about the title track and how that song came about and why that's important to you.
Georgia Stitt, my musical director and CD producer, brought me that song, actually. She had heard it. It's in a brand new musical called Daddy Long Legs that's written by a gentleman named Paul Gordon, who's immensely talented. And when Georgia played me the demo of that song, I immediately gravitated to it. I loved everything it said, and I love that Georgia knew that I'd love everything it said. because though the song is sung by a young girl in the play, it's got a wisdom to it that it took me 40 years to find, which is, it's the very first line. I've discovered the secret of happiness is learning how to glide. I think I spent so much time in my 20s trying to force things into being, trying to manipulate and create. And I think, I mean, there's a certain amount of that in whatever career you're doing, you know, that you want to be involved in the forces that are taking your life on a road. But I think there's a calmness, ironically, that you reach as your life becomes more complicated. You know, I can't control everything. I've now got these little, you know, muskrats running around my house. And as much as I want to get them to bed by 7 o'clock, I mean, you know, who knows what could happen? Anything can happen. And you have to kind of embrace it, and you have to learn how to glide through it. You can't make everything a big deal. I love that the song says, I've discovered that the secret of happiness is, though we can run that hill, happiness comes when you learn to be still. And I think it's that, too. I think so much of what you and I talk about on this show is about embracing process and looking at how you view what's happening to you. Not just what's happening to you, but how you choose to view it, accept it, and move on from it, change the trajectory of it. And I think this song encompasses it in such a beautiful melody, too, and such a, it's got little tricks to it where it never quite resolves, and it just keeps going and going, and it kind of pulls you along on this tether in kind of a joking way of, I've discovered the secret of happiness is, and then it never quite tells you, but then you realize by the end of it, oh, everything is the secret of happiness. But I mean, you know, not to mourn the past, or following my will, or don't let the journey be tainted by pride, or don't fear the future, you'll just be delayed. These are all lines in the song that are so true. They're so true. And I think it's a sweet song and a sweet reminder sometimes. I think the song sounds like what it's trying to say, which is relax. Just enjoy the ride of it. We can't always choose the wave, you know. You can't. A great surfer doesn't try and control a wave. A great surfer looks at the wave and figures out how to navigate it with grace.
Oh my goodness, that's beautiful, Susan. That's so beautiful. We were actually getting ready to sort of wrap up the show and close out with that song, and I was going to ask you for a closing thought. I think you kind of read my mind. That's such a graceful way to sort of put that sentiment. For those of you just joining us, we're here with Susan Egan. Please visit Susan's website at susanegan.net. And definitely treat yourself to her new CD, The Secret of Happiness. It is a must have for your CD collection. And it's not often you'll hear me say that, but it's a must have. Susan, we have just a minute or two, and we're going to close out the show in a minute with The Secret of Happiness. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with our listening audience? Any upcoming performances you'd like them to know about? Any other words of wisdom?
Thank you. You know, you can always go to my website, susanegan.net, and my appearances are on there, and it's constantly being updated because I'm starting to book a lot for 2012, 2013. But I would love to send anybody listening to my YouTube page, which is youtube.com/susanegan, S-U-S-A-N-E-G-A-N, because we launched the CD alongside a video of Nina Doesn't Care, which is very special to me because my animator from Disney's Hercules animated 2D animation on the video, and it's also live action, so I get to interact with the animation. And it just is sort of a visual reminder, I think, in this week of Thanksgiving, to stop and take stock of, yes, our life is chaotic, but look at how lucky we are to be living it. And I think this song really talks about that, as does The Secret of Happiness. But I'm so proud of the YouTube video. It's free to watch. So go and send the link off to your friends, share it on your Facebook pages, and get the word out there. It's a family-oriented kind of video for this very family-oriented week.
Oh, beautiful. Susan, you just are a gem. Thank you so much for sharing your light and sharing your wisdom and your energy and your passion with us. We're just so grateful to have you here. You're just an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Susan. The pleasure's mine.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us here on YOU Meek, Life Starring You. We're going to close out the show with The Secret of Happiness, the title track from Susan's CD, The Secret of Happiness, which you can find pretty much anywhere, Amazon, iTunes, lmlmusic.com, Susan's website, susanegan.net. Thank you so much for joining us.
Discovered the secret of happiness is learning how to glide. I've discovered the secret of happiness is just enjoy the ride. Don't let the journey be tainted by pride. And I've discovered the secret of happiness is not to mourn the past. I've discovered the secret of happiness is not to run too fast. You can still beat them by coming in last. And the secret of happiness is, I've discovered the secret of happiness is not to be afraid. I've discovered the secret of happiness is all illusions fade. Don't fear the future, you'll just be delayed. 'Cause the secret of happiness is living in the now. Living in the time it takes to blink, I think is how we're meant to be living.